My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Nocero. I am joined, as always, by my guy, Jay Binkley. Jay, we are now about to enter bowl season, where we talked about a lot about all of the players who were entering the transfer portal. And now we're starting to get some draft declarations just now, literally right before we popped on the mics and started recording. Drake May announced that he was going to forego his final year and he was going to enter the 2024 NFL draft.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Shocking to feel like.
Not at all. Like, and it's funny. It's like you're hearing a lot of players. Like, there was a lot of players, like quarterbacks, that we thought could be drafted in the first round who are, transferring, coming back, et cetera. You know, we talked last week about Riley Leonard, who is transferring away from Duke. Word is on the street that he's going to be going to Notre Dame. So Dylan Gabriel confirmed, we talked about last week, he was transferring from Oklahoma. He announced that he's going to go to Oregon. So, you know, a lot of really interesting names there. Certainly Gabriel and Leonard are going to be two names to talk about next year going into the 2025 draft. There's a lot of speculation going around. But right now, I think we are at a point where we can start to consider what we're going to be seeing in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. We are right at a point where a lot of these teams have kind of locked down the window where they're going to be drafted at. And now we're going to start to see where the players are going to fit with each team. Because I think now we can say, like, the teams in the top 10 are probably pretty solid. Maybe one of those teams climbs out.
Maybe they do at this point, but it is interesting. And one other kind of nugget that I noticed going around, you talk about Drake May, you know, going to go to the draft.
Yeah.
You never know, though. I mean, here's the one thing. Even if you think, Riley Leonard, we thought he was going to the NFL draft in the beginning. But what happens is, it's what Will Howard's finding out.
He
demanded $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, and no, it's changed the way. Jaden Daniels just won the Heisman. Usually we're used to these guys being redshirt freshmen like Manziel or sophomores,
right,
or juniors. He's a fifth-year player. And we see a lot of these awards fifth and sixth-year players because they got that extra year because of COVID. You redshirt, it's five. So we're seeing decisions, and I think guys are kind of getting more NFL ready, to be honest with you, by having that extra year. That way they can refine themselves. Jaden Daniels obviously needed this the 5 years that he used, and we don't see that very often, but we're starting to see it more and more. There was those rumors of Marvin Harrison staying at Ohio State because of a $20 to $25 million nil deal. Okay, that's great, and that'd be a definite reason to stay. But do you see somebody ponying that up at Ohio State? Now, you never know, but if someone ponies up $20, $25 million, yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going back to Ohio State. Which would shock things because we think he's, you know, either the first pick or no less than the third pick in the draft.
Certainly top three, I think.
But nil has changed everything, and it's definitely changed a lot of the bowl games and who's going to play, who isn't. Missouri's finding that out in the Cotton Bowl, where Kyle McCord, the quarterback of Ohio State this year, has already hit the transfer portal. So they're going to be facing a ton of guys, which we've talked about. The first round is loaded with Ohio State. So it's changed things. Who knows about Marvin Harrison? I never say never with nil, because it just changed the ball game that much. And I think it's changed the game for prospects going to the NFL.
I think if you're not a top half of the first round player, I think there's at least the consideration that maybe you stay so you can earn a little bit more money. And on top of it, you're going to make money in college anyways. And you don't have to deal with the ramifications of having to go be an adult and be a professional now. There is very much a kind of a culture in college where you don't have as much responsibility, and this isn't your job. It's a part of your life, a major part of your life, but also being a student is a major part of your life. And outside of the season, you can have a little bit more fun and enjoy still kind of having that freedom before you fully grow up. So, yeah, I can understand a lot of those guys, especially now with the financial incentive of NIL, deciding to stay. So, yeah, I very much would understand some of these guys staying. Like, I kind of am inclined to think, like, Shador Sanders is going to be staying in college. And there's all these other different names out there, guys where it's like, you know, they could get drafted this year, but I could totally see them deciding to stay and make a little extra cash, have a little bit more fun for another year, and work on improving their draft stock so that next year they're one of the elite players taken in the draft. So I 100% get it.
It's really, really changed things as far as guys making that easy decision to jump to the NFL, which, mm-hmm. you know, in the long run, NFL teams do benefit because they don't, quote, have to redshirt anybody. Like Tano Passanio, the Chiefs had to do it a few years ago. You don't have to redshirt anybody. You just go and, you know, you have the experience. You need 20 starts at least under your belt at the quarterback position. It will be interesting to see Carson Beck, you know, because he doesn't have that, if they go ahead and trust that with him. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
And I also think it's interesting just because for those players, it's like you have an opportunity to mature, get better, and there's incentive for the team, for the teams out there, for those guys to stay because you don't have to burn a rookie contract year. If that player comes in and they're better than they would have been had they left a year earlier, well, now they're better when they come in and start their rookie contract for your team. So it actually works out better. I mean, seriously, I think now if I were one of these teams that was, you know, looking to some of these players, if I thought a player was just not ready to play at the NFL level, I would advise them, hey, stay in college for a year, get better, improve your game. You're still going to make money. There's no need for you to go out there and waste a rookie contract year essentially doing a red, you know, playing red shirt. That just doesn't make any sense.
And I think nil has been so good for NFL teams.
Oh, yeah.
So guys already have this money. They have this $20. They probably already have financial advisors at that point.
Hopefully.
So all these things, you try to take rookies, and, you know, you have all the money's being thrown at them as rookies in the NFL. You're not having to deal with as much of that when they go to the NFL because they've already, especially if they're high profile, they've already been dealing with this. So that's a good thing. And maybe it's maybe a different way to look at things, but I think that the nil has helped out pro development. And also, we talked about the juniors can go to the Senior Bowl and the other.
Which is great for them.
Yeah, it's great for them that you don't have to be a fourth-year junior to go to it. So the evaluation process is getting better for the NFL teams.
Yeah, I love that part about it. I think there needs to be more transparency in that regard. So, yeah, I think this is great for the sport. And certainly, I think now it is a hell of a lot more player-friendly than when I started watching college football in 1997. I mean, it's just so much more player-friendly now. I mean, 10 years ago when we really started addressing whether or not they should get paid, players should get paid or not, actually more like 15 years ago, like it was still, there was still a very large contingent of people that were like, oh, you got to protect the amateur status of these guys. Not anymore. Like now you're in a very small minority if you are against these guys making money of any sort. So I love how the culture around college sports has changed, and I love how these players now are in a much safer environment to be able to work on their craft and also be able to mature as adults. Because I certainly don't like the fact that these guys go from being in college, making no money whatsoever, to now making millions of dollars. And you remember, like, what was it, before 2010? There was no rookie wage scale. So these guys were coming in. If you were like a top five pick, you were getting like a market-breaking contract for your position. And it was ridiculous.
It's helped quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL. Because like Josh Rosen's the world team just jettisoned. See you later.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do it. And Kyler Murray, we could see this coming up soon with Arizona. You know, if you don't have the guy, you can move on with it. Because you're not locked in, have an anchor on it.
Right, and those guys don't have to draw the envy of their teammates because you've got a guy like Jamarcus Russell who's making $60 million as a rookie, hasn't thrown a single pass, is making $60 million as a rookie. And certainly that has to rub his teammates the wrong way, especially when they see him come in and he doesn't really have a great work ethic and has a terrible diet and doesn't really do the research to try to become a better player. So, yeah, I think it's great all around. And certainly I think this is a system where the players are in a much better place than they were years ago. So we are going to do a preliminary mock draft. Since now we're done with the college football regular season, bowl season is right here. I think we got some games coming up here for bowls this coming weekend.
Yeah, 16th, get the FCS semifinals this weekend.
Yeah, that as well.
D2 finals.
Which you love the D2 finals.
I actually like the FCS.
You love the FCS.
I love watching Montana Furman Saturday night.
It's always hilarious because you always got like a player or two from those FCS games that you're like, oh, this
guy. Last year we loaded with it. Tucker Kraft.
All those guys. Yeah,
Christian Watson a few years ago.
You were all about, you love those D2, those FCS guys, and for good reason because there's certainly a lot more of those guys that turn out into very good players at the professional level. So we want to do a preliminary mock draft. We still don't have the draft order set. So, you know, this is just a kind of a preseason, if you will.
With all those 7-6 teams in the AFC, they can go in many directions.
I know.
4 weeks
like,
to go.
Like, exactly. Like, we still have four more games for each team to play, and we don't even have the order set because even after that, you still got the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
and where the Chiefs can end up. But here's the real litmus test of it. It's kind of a test to see where the Chiefs, if they're drafted towards the end of the draft.
Right.
Who would be available? Well, for instance, we talked about it before. 7 receivers is the record in 2004 to go in the first round. 6 quarterbacks in 83, record for first round. How many guys there? Edge rushers, offensive tackles thrown into that situation. What will the Chiefs be looking at? Because I'm telling you, the cupboard is going to be full at wide receivers in the first round, which is exactly where they should go.
I don't know how many mocks you've been doing here on the side. I've done a ton, and it just... there's so many great options here.
This is our first mock.
This is our first preliminary. This is our preliminary mock.
And we'll do Chief specifics when the comp picks come
out.
Right.
We'll do some more first round mocks as well.
But we always do this. Last year we started with this too.
Yes. Yeah. But so our criteria is we're going to go with what the current draft order would be right now. So we have the Chicago Bears who have the Carolina Panthers pick. Since they traded that to move up to number one overall, Chicago Bears would be picking number one overall right now. No trades, and our criteria is going to be who we think they should take. Not who we think they will take, who we think they should take. There's a lot of different criteria for it and whatnot. We want to do this basically. Here's where we have our valuations for these guys here in the first round of the draft.
See what positions that we think are going. Why don't you take the first pick, Chris? We're using your iPad, so it would make sense. And you're closer. Who's closer to the studio? You. So you make the Bears pick.
I was going to give it to you, but
I'll give it to you.
I'll take it. So
I'll do number two, though.
Oh, yeah. I expect that. So we're on the clock now, starting it off. Bears, who have the Carolina Panthers pick, picking number one overall. I think this one's easy. I know there's been hot take artists out here who've tried to make a case for Drake May at number one overall. I just don't see it. Like, I get a lot of people like Drake May because of a lot of the intangibles, because he does some of the things that that you don't normally find in a quarterback, improvisation, things like that. But right now, nobody in college can improv the way that Caleb can. No one can make the kind of creative throws that he makes. Similar to, like, I hate the Mahomes comparison, but I do think that it is
one so does that he.
I'm sure he does too. But stylistically, he is very similar to him. And I think he's the best quarterback in this draft class. So
before you hit that, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Was there anything going through your mind of Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No. And the reason
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. ends up in Canton. I don't think Caleb does.
But
I'm not saying it's a bad pick. I may do it too. I'm just saying.
Here's
just
my thing with Marvin Harrison. Is I don't think Marvin Harrison makes this team better than Caleb does. Because I look at the two. Marvin Harrison, I think, is going to be a great wide receiver. I think Caleb's going to be a great quarterback. Now, is he going to be all-time great? I don't know. But I think he's going to be, at the very minimum, a guy that we argue about should he be in the Hall of Fame or not. I don't know if he's ever going to win a Super Bowl or any of that, but I'm very sure he's the best quarterback in this draft class. I'm very sure that at some point he's going to be the best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, probably a top 10, maybe even top 5. And in that case, I think he makes your team better immediately if you're the Bears than any other player. So I'm going to go Caleb Williams out of USC.
Caleb Williams, first pick in the draft, goes to the Chicago Bears.
So now puts the New England
Patriots on the clock.
New England Patriots, number 2 overall.
And
I think this one's easy.
Quarterback. Yeah. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. would be a great pick, I think, for the Patriots. But they got to have a quarterback because that's what's missing. I mean, this team almost looking to take new steps this year.
Right.
Obviously, Bill Belichick probably got a lot of advice from Nick Saban. Obviously, Mac Jones ended up being a better college quarterback than an NFL quarterback. To me, this is simple. I was going to take whoever you didn't take. Well, I didn't think you were going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. You could have, but
I think
Caleb
you were
Williams
waiting on the quarterback.
Or Drake May. So I'm going to go Drake May, number 2, New England Patriots. So we have quarterbacks going 1 and 2, first 2 picks.
Yeah, and so now we got the Cardinals on the clock. This was a team I think everyone thought was going to be the worst team in the league this year, and so everyone thought that they were going to get Caleb Williams. Now they're in an interesting spot here. The easy pick is Marvin Harrison Jr., but then you got to think about, well, what if they decided to go with one of these other quarterbacks? What if they decided to go Jaden Daniels? What if they decided to go Bo Nix? There's options here at quarterback for them at number 3 overall. But here's my thing. I don't think that Kyler Murray is very tradable right now because he's just coming off of ACL injury, and you've got the questions about his work ethic, which is the reason why they put that clause in his contract that he's got to study the playbook. Like, I've never heard of that ever
being on an NFL contract.
It's a bad look for Kyler Murray for the Cardinals to feel like they have to put that in the contract. So there's some concerns there. But I think that Kyler Murray is a very talented quarterback, and I think he's a guy. I mean, they paid him a lot of money. He's going to be very hard to trade because of that contract. So if you're trading for him, it's because you think he's definitely going to be a star and you're ready to take on a market-making contract from your quarterback immediately, which not very many teams, I think, are ready to do. So I don't think he's tradable really that much right now unless the Cardinals decide to eat a bunch of that money, and they're not going to do that because that's stupid. So I think the best move is you get yourself a game-breaking player for your franchise quarterback to throw to. Safest pick in the draft, I think. I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
So now we're number 4 at we got the Washington Commanders picking number 4 overall.
Yeah, the Washington Commanders, will EB be the offensive coordinator next year?
He might be the head coach.
Will be the head coach there. We don't know.
But I think this is easy.
One thing about the Commanders, well, how easy is it? Because I would go, I'm really leaning towards Brock Bowers.
Really?
My favorite pick in the draft, because Commanders, that's one of the positions they need, is tight end. Offensive line as well.
Now, think about it. What do you think is the worst? Because I like Logan Thomas, their starting
tight end. Here's the thing, though. Sam Howell, you know, does he need weapons? But I can also be talking to...
Does he need weapons, though?
Offensive line or weapons. Like, tight end, I could see him with them, but I'm going to go for Shanu, the tackle from Penn State, who I think is the best tackle in this year's draft. I think he built that solid wall up there. Because, again, tackle or tight end, I think, help Sam Howell at this point. But I'm going offensive line with the... is that your best tackle? Because all time he, really like Rashawn Evans,
he's,
right
he's my favorite tackle in the draft.
Same here.
I think he's the best tackle in the draft. Like the only negative you hear about Olufoshanu is that some people think he needs a little bit more grit, a little bit more toughness, you know, a little bit of a mean streak to him. But you watch him play, and he's like the most technically proficient tackle in this draft class by far. Like, he looks like he could immediately become a starting left tackle in the league and from day one be like a Laremy Tunsil type. Come in and immediately be a franchise left tackle. So I agree with you on that. I know it's hard for you to look at Brock Bowers and be like, I don't know if you,
that's my
you
dude, take that. Man.
I know, and I get it. And I've had some struggles there as well.
We allowed trades in this first round of Mantha Heat.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We filled some calls here for the Commanders.
Oh, yeah, because I totally think the Commanders would think about it, for sure, because there's a lot of good tackles in this first round.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Get maybe an alt later or somebody like
that. But I think that this is a slam dunk pick for the Commanders. They're not a very good offense. Their offensive line is terrible. I mean, they gave $8 million a year to Andrew Wiley. Like, that's how you know they're a bad line. Sam Howell gets hit way too damn much. They got a lot of weapons on their offense, so I think they're fine. Logan Thomas, I think, is a pretty good tight end. And there's other tight ends they can take. So I agree with you. Olufoshanu, I think, is the right pick. For the Chicago Bears picking at number 5 overall in the first round here.
They've already grabbed Caleb Williams.
This is their actual pick here. We've already taken Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. Now we got to take another player. I think this pick is very tradable. I think if you're the Bears, you're absolutely going to field calls, especially if you've got a team that is really looking at Joe Alt and they want to get ahead of the Jets at 6 overall, which I think, you know, where everyone for sure is going to look at Joe Alt going 6. I don't think he moves past 6. So, at number 5, I do think the Bears will field calls for this. But, again, this is not a, we're not trading. So I'm going to go with who I think is the best option for them. And I'm going to go with Laiatu Latu.
I knew it.
Edge out of UCLA. I really like this guy. Well,
and this defense of Chicago's gotten a lot better in the last night. Ever since that Kansas City game, they've gotten exponentially better.
They've gotten a lot better.
Ask Detroit this past weekend.
Yes, 100%. They've gotten a lot better. And here's the thing about it. If they get a good edge rusher on their defense – you've got a quarterback now on your offense. You've got some decent weapons on your offense.
It's the best edge rusher and arguably the best quarterback.
So you get best quarterback, best edge rusher. You've got some good weapons on your offense. Cole Kmet got a nice little contract extension this offseason. DJ Moore certainly looks like one of the when he's on, he's on. Like, there's been times where he's looked like a great receiver, and there's times where they just don't throw him the ball. Now you got your quarterback. On the opposite end there, I mean, Eberflus is a defensive guy. Getting an edge rusher with the kind of juice, the kind of athleticism that Latu has, slam dunk pick here. To me, again, I think there's a very good chance they trade out of this. But if they make...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This pick, I think Liatu Latu is their guy.
And here's why it makes sense. Chicago's 30th in the NFL in sacks. They only got 21 sacks this year,
which is terrible.
So it's one grade. And they're about 11th, 12th total defense at this point, but they're not getting to the quarterback, and Latu makes a ton of sense.
Yes.
Great value pick for the Chicago Bears.
So now we're 6 overall, New York Jets on the clock. I think this one's one of the easiest picks in the draft. I seriously think this is one of the easiest picks of the draft.
Is it, though? You redshirt a guy, but you redshirt a guy behind Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback because you're thinking about the future. You're thinking there's so many good quarterbacks in this draft. When you're looking at the Jets, which direction you thinking? You go in defensive line with the New York Jets. The quarterback position, to me, makes a ton of sense.
Here's the problem with quarterback. I don't think the Jets are going to want to offend Aaron Rodgers by doing what the Packers did. So I agree with you on that, but I think more pertinent than finding their quarterback of the future is protecting the quarterback that they just moved a bunch of picks to get. So I think Joe Alt is the guy. I think that's a slam dunk pick for him.
Or Latham to Alabama.
Latham, too. Latham's an option.
Like those two guys there.
I think Alt's better than Latham, but like, I think Latham's going to be picked a little bit higher than people
I've liked
think.
Alt all year.
Yeah, you have. He's been arguably your
Joe
favorite.
Joe Alt of the Kansas City Chiefs. John Alt of the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe Alt to tackle at Notre Dame. We're going tackle with the New York Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers would be really pleased with this, even though
he'll be big, very happy with
the tackle. But he was big in the skill positions. That's one thing he wanted in Green Bay was skill positions.
Right.
But,
he's not lacking on that, right?
But they're already going out and getting everybody for that. So Joe Alt to the
I think this is probably one of the easiest picks of the draft. Like if you're doing like a mock draft challenge or whatever, Joe Alt at 6. Like, unless someone's going to trade up ahead of them at 5 and get ahead of them, you know, with the Bears and try to take them, sure. But I think this is a slam dunk move here. Joe Alt to the Jets. 7 overall, we got the New York Giants on the clock. I think this is one of two players. I think it's either going to be Malik Nabers or Keon Coleman. I've talked about this all season long, about Keon Coleman. The 40 time is going to be what determines who goes who's the second receiver taken. If Keon Coleman is sub 4.4, he will be the number 2 receiver taken in this.
His returner is 6'4", I believe.
215, 215, incredible athlete. I mean, the fact that you have what other 6'4" guys returning kicks? No one.
I love Keon Coleman. He's probably he and Malik Nabers right there fluctuate between 2 and 3.
Right.
Right behind Marvin Harrison, but it's Keon Coleman or it's Malik Nabers is the second receiver taken.
I believe I'm going to play it safe right now. I'm going to go with Malik Nabers.
Whoa!
Because I do not know what Coleman's 40 time is. And I think that is going to be the depending factor, the deciding factor of whether or not he gets taken as the second wide receiver. So for now, play it safe. I don't want to give Keon too much speed that he doesn't have. So I'm going to go with Malik Nabers as the number 7 pick in the first round to the New York Giants.
Well, who's on the clock now?
Tennessee
Titans. They need a wide receiver. They need DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to be gone out of the NFL.
He ain't getting young. Point. He ain't getting any younger.
So it leaves me with Keon Coleman. I've talked about, you know, a lot of people have Keon Coleman going in the mid to 15 to 20, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those.
And Romo Dunze seems like a surefire guy. But to me, Keon Coleman's that X factor. Keon Coleman's the guy you can look back at in a couple years and say, why did so many people pass on Keon Coleman, just the true playmaking ability he has. So, Keon Coleman will be the selection for me for the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis, you got yourself a weapon right now in Keon Coleman. There we go. Keon Coleman is now a member of the Tennessee Titans. Probably overdrafted him, but we'll see at the combine. Because he's one of those guys, hey, he might sit there 15 to 25, but if you run sub 4.4, you're looking at top 10.
Yeah, I think that's going to, like I said, I think the 40 time is going to decide his draft position. I think he's going to go somewhere before 20, but I think where he gets drafted, how high he gets drafted, depends on that 40 time. Because I think there was going to be somebody that's going to look at him and be like, yeah, that's our guy. Like, that speed, yeah, we got to get that guy.
So we have two quarterbacks so far.
Two quarterbacks, two wide receivers.
Two wide receivers, so 2-2. Again, the record for quarterbacks is 6th. The record for wide receivers in the first round is 7.
We got two tackles also taken as well, offensive tackles taken. So so now we're at the Saints, 9th overall. And I've been seeing some mocks that have this guy going 9th overall. I think this is going to be one that might sneak up on some people. I've got them taking quarterback Jaden Daniels.
Ooh, do you?
Out of Newton. LSU. I think, obviously, like, the Louisiana fit there, it's going to be a big culture thing. But, look, Jaden was so great this year. He just came out of nowhere and just turned into one of the best quarterbacks in the nation.
40 quarterbacks passing each. But, yeah. but Jaden Daniels had, what, 52 touchdowns combined?
52,
the 60, yeah. Joe Burrow had 63 passing in the SEC. But Jaden Daniels led the SEC in passing.
Yeah.
He was second in rushing behind Cody Schrader at the University of Missouri. But unbelievable, one of the few quarterbacks ever to have over 50 combined touchdowns. He was with Johnny Manziel, guys that ran for over 1,000 yards and passed for over 3,500 yards.
I just think that the explosiveness, the ability to run, the fact that they already have weapons there, like, he's going into a Saints team that is ready to win. They just need a quarterback.
And playing right there.
He's, like I said, he's playing.
Played at Arizona State, but he played last 2 years at LSU.
Yeah, but he played last 2 years at LSU, and so he's basically hometown guy there. Obviously,
what would Brian Kelly say? Get the family.
Yeah, he's going to pretend he's from the South now. Yeah, I think this one's a slam dunk pick here. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels.
There's our third quarterback.
9th overall to the New Orleans Saints. So now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock at 10. This one's interesting because I think there's a couple ways you can go here.
I could probably go Brock Bowers here.
You could go Brock Bowers.
Not have any problems whatsoever.
100%. I also think you could go quarterback as well.
Yeah, quarterback's the position that they need.
So this is basically how much faith do they have in Baker Mayfield? Are they comfortable with just having a mediocre quarterback and just supplying him with as many weapons as they possibly can? Or do they want to get better at quarterback and then hope that that quarterback gets good enough in time to work with the receivers? And obviously they're going to have to get some more receivers as well because Mike Evans is playing his last year in Tampa. And, I mean, Chris Godwin's, what, like 27, 28 years old? Like, he ain't going to be around forever. Trey Palmer has definitely started. He's showing a little something this year, but, like, he still needs some more seasoning. He's a rookie. So there's a lot of options you could go here. You could go wide receiver. You could go tight end. You could go quarterback.
You know what? Because I'm thinking here Michael Penix and I'm thinking Bo Nix. I'm thinking those guys, but I'm going Brock Bowers because that's been my guy all season long. Love Brock Bowers. I think he's the best player available on the draft board this time. Clearly he is here in Pro Football Focus. But still, I like Brock Bowers going here. I don't think he slips into the double digits as far as that's concerned, even though he is here at 10 with the Buccaneers.
I
think that's as far as he goes is number 10. I would hate to think that Brock Bowers went out of the top 10. Brock Bowers to the Buccaneers.
I think this is a very reasonable pick for them. A lot of teams, when they have at least a mediocre quarterback, are cool with staying with that and then just supplying him with as much talent as they can. So I think it's very, very plausible that they will do that. And I think I don't think it'd be a bad pick. I still think quarterback is a need for him, but I don't think it's a bad pick if they decide to go with Brock Bowers here. So I probably would have gone quarterback there, but I completely get the Brock Bowers pick because Brock's one of those guys. He could be a generational type player. And, you know, maybe at this point.
I think he and Marvin Harris are the two best players in the draft.
Right, and I think there could be a situation where maybe they don't think that the quarterbacks remaining are worth being taken there. So I completely get that. So now we're on to the Oakland Raiders. I mean, the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders. This one is interesting because there's a couple ways you could go. There's actually three ways you can go. You got Jerzon Newton sitting here at defensive tackle here. He's an option. You got Romo Dunze as well. He's an option. And then I also think you could go Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback. I think the quarterback situation is a problem for him.
They like Aiden O'Connell, but that's not the answer.
He's not the answer. And I could see them giving Aiden another year and saying, we're going to give you as many weapons as you can. We'll see what happens. Or they go veteran guy at the quarterback spot. Or maybe they decide to keep Jimmy and see if they can work something with him. But even though I think they need quarterback, I don't think they're going to go quarterback. So here at 11th overall, I've got them taking – ooh, this is tough – I'm going to go Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois.
Best defensive tackle in the country.
Yeah, by far. And, you know, their defense isn't very good.
Well, it's great last year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well, not this previous year, but the year before.
Yeah. So this gives them an option to get a great option at defensive tackle, improve their defense. Their defense is not good. And, you know, you got to play Patrick Mahomes twice a year, Justin Herbert twice a year, you know, Russell Wilson for the foreseeable future. You know, you've got a lot of options that are very difficult as far as opposing offenses go. Get yourself a big-time defensive player that could be an anchor for a pass rush, you know. They like Tyree Wilson. Max Crosby's been one of the best pass rushers in the league for the last few years. Get yourself a guy in the middle who could push that pile back, so who push that pocket back. So, yeah, I think this is a good pick there at 11 overall. So, 12th overall, we got the Los Angeles Chargers on the clock.
Man, with the Chargers, you like to give Justin Herbert weapons.
You know, you would.
Yeah. I think they struck out last year.
Quentin Johnston has not been very good.
I think that's not the answer they were looking for. But you go first round again at wide receiver, that's the big question. And defensively,
I think corner is a
29th
big problem.
Defense in the NFL. They're in corner, they brought in J.C. Jackson. They quickly went away from J.C. Jackson.
He's back in New England now.
So I'm going cornerback because you supply the Chargers with the defense. It's right. Clearly what they need. I'm going to go Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama at cornerback for the Chargers for this pick.
I really like this pick. This is who I've been mocking to the Chargers. I think that, you know, I mean, Khalil Mack's starting to get up there. Joey Bosa's starting to get up there. But at the end of the day, like, their secondary is so bad. Derwin James can't stay healthy. Then, you know, the J.C. Jackson thing was a disaster. Probably going to be one of the biggest reasons why, like, I think their GM head coach combination going to be gone at the end of the year. You gotta fix that defense. You cannot go out there with those corners and think you're going to beat Patrick Mahomes twice a year.
Shut down, you know? Corner for the Chargers. I do think they go offensive minded head coach, which is fine.
Me too.
Bulk up that defense again. 29th total defense.
So we got Denver on the clock at 13. They could go wide receiver here. They could go defensive back and kind of shore up their defense. I'm going to go edge rusher here because I think they've lost. Like, their edge rush situation's not great. They traded away Bradley Chubb last season. Randy Gregory's gone now. They just paid that guy 5 years, $70 million before last season. He's already gone. I think, what is he, with the 49ers now? Like, not a great situation for them as far as their defensive line goes. Their defense has improved throughout the season, but still, like, you need some juice there. Especially you got, like, a great corner in Patrick Surtain II playing in your secondary. I think you need to get a little bit of juice in the pass rush. And the guy I think can do that is Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama. He's my second favorite edge rusher in this draft class. I think he compares very similar to like a Will Anderson Jr. type. Not quite as good, but I still think he's a very good edge rusher.
I mean, I still like Jared Verse. I still like the potential of what Verse can be from Florida State.
Yeah.
But Dallas Turner would be my second edge.
I think Turner's just...
He was number one going into
the season. He was until Latu came in. I think he's just a safer pick. And like I said, I think he's a technically proficient edge rusher, similar to Will Anderson Jr. So I'm going to go with Dallas Turner there.
Buffalo Bills, you know, definitely defensive backfield. you know, bulk that up. They were 20th against the run, so you take a linebacker, but they'll get Milano back next year. But I
believe that's Milano's last year with the team, so they're going to have to think about that
position. Yeah, and
I think this is last Milano year on his contract. So.
But the bottom line is they need wide receiver. And, you know, they were talked about with Odell Beckham when it came out. They were talked about with DeAndre Hopkins. Romo Dunze is the best wide receiver on the board to me. I'm giving the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen another weapon. Going Romo Dunze, best wide receiver at of a trio of wide receivers at Washington with Polk and McMillan. So, Odunze to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think this is a good move. Gabe Davis is probably going to leave.
I should have given him the worst player of the day.
You should have. Yeah, I think Gabe Davis is done in Buffalo. We talked to, was it Gene Battaglia earlier back in August before the season, and he was like, yeah, it's probably last year for Gabe there. He hasn't quite panned out the way they were hoping he would. So, you know, this will be another chance for them to add another weapon. Dalton Kincaid, I think, has been a success for them this year.
Well, Milano just re-upped his deal.
I think this has him
through 25.
Is it 25? Okay. But
potential out in 26.
Okay. Okay.
Getting Milano back. That's huge for that run defense.
That is huge because, they've certainly missed him this year. I think Romo Dunze there, going to the Bills, I think that's a good move for them because they need to add a little bit more weapons there on the offense. So, at 15 overall, we get the Seattle Seahawks. This is where I think Jared Verse goes. Seahawks been retooling their defense. Their secondary, pretty damn good now. You know, you got Tariq Woolen, you got Devin Witherspoon the last couple of years. Both have turned into really good corners there. I think now you add a little bit of nastiness to your defense.
He actually got benched a few weeks ago, but he came right back.
Yeah, he came right back.
I love Tariq Woolen.
Yeah.
Because he's the fastest player in the draft. 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'4". Yeah, he's crazy-ass speed.
Ran a 4.26, by the way.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Jared Verse here, edge rusher out of Florida State. They need a little juice there on the defense. You could also go offensive line here, but, they need interior. And the problem is that there's no interior lineman worth taking in the first round right now. So I'm going to go Jared Verse out of Florida State.
So the Rams on the clock for 16. With Stafford, it's going to be a guy to be the next quarterback. And I really think the Rams are going to go that
quarterback. You think quarterback here?
I do. I think the Rams are going to do it. McVay there, I think, quarterback for the Rams. I think the future last year was Stetson Bennett, but obviously who knows what's going on with Stetson Bennett. He's not with the team at this point. Now it comes down to Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
It's one of those two guys, and I like them both. I didn't like Bo Nix early on. I think he's really developed when he's been out of
Oregon. He's impressed me a lot.
And with the 40 touchdowns he has this year, I'm going to go Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon to the Rams.
So this is an interesting position for the Bengals here at 17. If Odunze or Brock Bowers would have been here at 17, I would have taken either of those two. Because I think T. Higgins is gone. I think the Chiefs are going to be pursuing T. Higgins pretty heavily here in free agency here in the coming months. I think that this will be one of the tough decisions for them because if you look at the Bengals defense, they've gotten better as the season has gone along. They were terrible early, like the first month of the season. They've gotten better, but still not great. So you could go defense here. You got the edge rushing position, probably not something they're going to go with because they got Hilliard Trey Hendrickson. So they're probably not going to go edge rusher. Could go cornerback, though. Cam Taylor-Britt, I think, is actually turned into one of the better corners. He's a very good corner, I think. So the question really becomes, do they want to go offensive line or do they want to go wide receiver? Now, in the past, they have gone wide receiver. They had an option to take Penei Sewell out of Oregon or Jamar Chase out of LSU. They decided Jamar Chase because he's got he's an explosive wide receiver and he was part of that national title team with Joe Burrow. So it made sense. I think now, though, in this situation, it makes more sense for them to go offensive line because their quarterback has gotten injured two out of the last 4 years. Two of his 4 years in the league, he's gotten hurt. And next year is going to be the first year where he has a pretty substantial hit on your cap because he's going into that fifth-year option. Fifth-year option is not cheap. A lot of people think it's a cheap year. It's not if the player has played a bunch. and he's played a bunch. It's going to be like a $30 million cap hit. You do not want a $30 million cap hit player not playing because your offensive line is trash. So I think here, this one's pretty easy. I'm going to go with J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama, play on the opposite side of Orlando Brown Jr., and could eventually be their starting left tackle if Orlando Brown Jr. continues to not play as well as someone that is being paid the amount of money that he's being paid. So I'm going to go J.C. Latham here. You could also go Talisi Fuaga out of Oregon State as well, but I'm going to go J.C. Latham because I think he's the best available tackle here.
Which leads us to the Pittsburgh Steelers coming in here. And the one thing with Pittsburgh is, pair somebody opposite side of Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
At corner. Mm-hmm. I like defensive backs for Pittsburgh.
They're a defensive team, and with Kenny Pickett, they're going to have to be.
I do it. And Patrick Peterson there now, so what's he got left in the tank? Probably a ton. So I'm going, I think, the best corner on the board at this point. It's Nate Wiggins. Kalen King at Penn State, I really like.
I like Wiggins better than
but I'm going Nate Wiggins, cornerback from Clemson, who I think is the next best corner still on here. I think he belongs with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It would be funny
if last year, the Nate Wiggins this year, so young second.
It would be funny if they did go Kalen King since he was also a former teammate of Joey Porter Jr.
When he played at Penn State.
Yeah, yeah. He played at Penn State, so he's a teammate of Joey Porter Jr. from last year. So, yeah, certainly an option there. But, yeah, I think you made the right choice there with Wiggins. I think he is the best available corner at this time. So now we get to number 19 with the Atlanta Falcons. This one's interesting. The Falcons are a team that has a lot of needs. Could go quarterback, don't think they will. Could go receiver, don't think they will. I think defense is going to be where they lean into their identity. Their defense is actually pretty decent this year. It's actually been kind of a strength for them. One of the reasons why they are, you know, right around the top of the AFC South there. So, question is, do you want to make a strength, continue letting a strength be a strength? And I think, if you are the Falcons, I think you do. I think you want to invest a little bit more in your defense.
They're going to running back again?
No, they're going to go running back. So I'm going to go with cornerback Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Bolster up that secondary.
He's hurt right now.
He's hurt right now. He tore his ACL, I think, was it like a month ago? So
a couple weeks ago, yeah.
So, you know, he's hurt, but we know how these ACLs are healing so much faster now in 2023 than they ever have.
And Cooper DeJean's a returner as well.
Yeah, he's a returner as well. Electric player. I think you want that on your defense. When you're a team that's basically, like, the Falcons are basically a copy of the Tennessee Titans. Arthur Smith is a former offensive coordinator for the Titans, and he's built that team very similar. Run the football, play defense. If you're going to do that, you need playmakers. DeJean is a great player, so that's why I'm going with at 19.
Going 19 there. Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers. I'm still thinking, and this is not going to be popular up there, but Aaron Rodgers isn't there to get mad about getting offensive linemen non-skill position. one of the offensive linemen I've liked all year, he had that high ankle sprain like Brock Bowers, had that tightrope surgery with them.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about.
Amarius Mims.
Yep, I know you're talking about.
Amarius Mims to the Green Bay Packers I think would be a good fit. I like him. He's got two national titles at the University of Georgia. And he had the same surgery, basically, that Brock Bowers did. So, tackle, Amarius Mims. I think he can play on both sides, wherever you see him fit. So, I'm going to Amarius Mims to the Green Bay Packers at 20. And where are we sitting? Let's see. Let's go through a kind of review. What are we on receivers? And
so, right now, the only receivers we have taken are Marvin Harrison Jr. At third overall to the Arizona Cardinals. We had Malik Nabers go 7 overall to the Giants. Keon Coleman, 8 overall to the Titans. And then we have Romo Dunze, 14 overall to the Bills.
Is that 5? I lost count there.
Well, let's count that. I think it's 4.
All right.
So it's Harrison
Jr.
Nabers.
Coleman. Keon.
And then we've got Odunze. That's it.
Okay, so we got four receivers
taken on the board here. And we've got 4 quarterbacks taken. So now we're at 21 with the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings kind of need a little bit of everything here.
They need quarterback too, man.
I do.
And, I mean, that's 6-3 over the Raiders, man.
I've said this for years that they've needed a quarterback. And they haven't had the option to get a good one. I think they do now. I think at 21, a guy that at one point I thought was the second best quarterback in his draft class, behind Caleb Williams, guy still sitting there right now, guy who I think could be a very good Kirk Cousins type guy, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington. I'm going to go him at 21. If you're the Vikings, you love the fact that he fell there.
And the one thing I'm going to talk about is Quinn Ewers, because the decision maybe coming back to Texas.
Right. You know,
kind of leave him. And that leads us to, where's Arch Manning going to go? Because
right.
Arch Manning sitting there at Texas.
Yeah, and Arch is the third quarterback on their roster. So, yeah, there's a good chance he might end up transferring.
So
now we've got the Arizona Cardinals. On the clock at 22.
To me, it's about offensive skill positions. It's about the weapons. Earlier on with Arizona, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver. So we'll skip wide receiver at this point.
And they've got a pretty good wide receiver room already. They just needed a true number one, because their best receiver was, what's his name, Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown's not a number one receiver. He's like a really good number two. So now they got their number one guy. I think offensive line is a good option here. I know they got Paris Johnson Jr. last year. He's had a terrible year. He's really struggled, though I think he'll get better.
With up-and-coming teams, though, I'm totally about building your lineup. Like, I thought that you could look at Cameron Kitchens, best secondary guy available.
And their defense isn't great.
At the University of Miami.
That's an option for sure.
But a tackle I really like, because I like both Oregon's tackles. Like, I love that. Oregon State, excuse me.
Yeah.
Oregon State. Talese Fuaga, tackle. Talese Fuaga.
Yes. I like that pick.
Talese Fuaga. I like it too, to Arizona. You have him and Marvin Harrison Jr. coming in. You can see them both sitting up at that table
right.
In the first round. But tackle to the Arizona Cardinals.
They need to protect Kyler. Kyler gets hit a lot. Kyler has to run around a lot. This gives them a nice strength to lean on with their offense. So I love this pick. I think this would be a really good one for them. And I think it could very well put Arizona into the playoff picture for sure if they get these guys. So now we're at 23rd overall to the Colts. Colts are an interesting team because they're a team that's completely overperformed expectations this year. This is a team that picked 4th overall in the draft last year or earlier this year. And yes, now they're in the playoff mix with their backup quarterback in Gardner Minshew. This is interesting because they're super talented already. Just had bad injuries, bad luck with quarterbacks and bad luck with injuries. And a lot of it at the same time. Especially right now with Anthony Richardson, this is supposed to be a rookie year where he learns and develops. And he was done for the year by October. So this is interesting. I feel like they could very well trade out of this pick. Because I think that they could accumulate a little bit more value. It's funny because PFF says they need a wide receiver. I actually think they're good at wide receiver. Like, Michael Pittman's been one of the best wide receivers in the league this year. And on top of that, like, Josh Downs from North Carolina really, really started to show out here in the middle of the season. So this is kind of a luxury pick for them, but they could also use a little bit more help on the defensive side. And so I'm kind of leaning between Cameron Kitchens and Tyler Newbin. And I'm probably going to go Cameron Kitchens here because I think he's a little bit more of a playmaker overall. I think Newbin's a better ball hawk. I think he's better.
By far the best gopher.
Yeah, I think Newbin's a better, like, true, like, free safety, center fielder, shut down the deep ball. But I think Kitchens a guy that could play all over the field, all over the defense. So I'm going to go with Kitchens because I just think the utility that he brings to that defense is something that you're just not going to find in a lot of different players on defense.
Well, this brings us to the pick right before the Kansas City Chiefs in this, the Pro Football Focus. Like, they have the Chiefs at 25th, and obviously
right.
They finish a lot different there. But the Texans, Tank Dell gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But Tank Dell's a nice young piece.
Very young for the Texans. Very good young wide receiver.
Now, Nico Collins, a former third-round pick back in 21. He's got over 1,000 yards this year.
Very, very great year for him this year.
But wide receiver with C.J. Stroud. Like, that is the perfect mix to me, is wide receiver. One of the wide receivers I've really liked all year. And I really like the mock the Chiefs at the end. Adonai Mitchell or A.D. Mitchell, whichever you prefer, at Texas, an absolute stud, would be probably my favorite receiver going forward at this point.
I kind of
like Xavier Leggett at South Carolina, but I like A.D. Mitchell a little bit better to the Texans.
So here's what I'll say about that before we do that.
The transfer to from Georgia to Texas. Yeah.
I think the defense is something they could also look at here, too. I think that their wide receiver core, I think, is fine. You look at it, like Nico Collins, still on a rookie contract here, third year in the league, having a great year. Tank Dell was having a great year before he got hurt, before he, broke his leg.
But a smaller guy,
but he's been great this year. Doesn't matter about size if he's having a great year. So you got him, you got Dell, you got Nico Collins, and you got Noah Brown, who actually was starting to come out too as well. I don't know if receivers where they need to go in the first round. They could go later on, maybe go take a Tez Walker type in the second round. But I kind of think, especially with the kind of...
But with Tank being 5'10", Mitchell 6'4".
But it doesn't matter.
We're going AD Mitchell to the Houston Texans. Plays at Texas, going to fit right in there with CJ Stroud.
Yeah,
I trust D'Amico Ryans for the defense as head coach. Keep building up. Put some Nico Collins out there. Robert Woods is out there starting now for him. Put some Nico Collins. How about this? How about that trio? Nico Collins, Tank Dell, AD Mitchell.
Yeah, I would have gone defense there.
Almost wanted Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
Yeah, I would have gone defense there. I think defense is kind of where the priority needs to be right now. So now we got to the Kansas City Chiefs, 25th overall, options at wide receiver. A lot of options at wide receiver.
Two of them that really stand out to me.
And so we kind of look at it right here, like the top rated per PFF is Emeka Egbuka. I'm not drafting him.
No.
Like I'm not drafting.
I think he benefited from Harrison.
I think he's very much the bridesmaid type.
And he was hurt a lot this year.
I think he's the bridesmaid type. Not taking him. Xavier Leggett is interesting. And I think his combine is going to be vital to his draft position. I think if he has a great combine, runs a great 40 time, he's going to shoot up boards. He's already, we talked about him earlier this year. He was one of my moneymakers in like October. Because he was working his way up. At one point, he was leading the FBS in receiving yards. So he's an interesting option, especially because, like, it wasn't a whole lot of other guys out there. He was the guy at South Carolina. So Leggett's an option. Xavier Worthy's an option. Brian Thomas Jr. is an option.
That's the guy. Him, Brian Thomas
Troy
Jr.
Franklin is Troy another Franklin option.
Troy Franklin
well.
And Xavier Leggett are like the top three, I think, for the Chiefs. Brian Thomas Jr. would give the Chiefs something they don't have.
So here's
he's a touchdown machine. He's 6'4".
So here's my thing. When I watch Brian Thomas Jr., I think T. Higgins. But I think he's got a little bit more speed than T. I think T's like, what, a 4'5", 40 guy? I think Brian Thomas is probably a 4'4", guy.
He's 6'4", 205 pounds?
Yeah, I think he's like a 4'4", guy. And when I look at that, and I mean, he was a deep threat when he was at LSU. Tall, vertical, like all these guys are tall in this draft class. Like there's not that many short guys here that are going to be, being projected the first couple rounds. But I just, the speed jumps out to me and the ability to run after the catch is so important in this offense. And so I look at it and like the only other guy I look at here that I think would be great is Troy Franklin. Because he's another taller guy. I think he's like 6'3". He's not
1,300 yards. Brian Thomas, a little over 1,000. But he had 15 touchdowns for the nation.
And so the thing that jumps
Troy's
out
Troy's 6'3",
here,
by the way.
Yeah, Troy's 6'3", yeah. So he's 6'3", like what, 180 something or something like that?
Smaller.
He's not super big. But the thing about Brian Thomas that jumps out is the fact that he's got decent. He's a really good speed. He's got great size, and he knows how to use his body. And so I think at 25... I think he makes perfect sense. I think the physicality is going to be important for the Chiefs. I think he could end up playing the role that Kelce plays right now, but be a little bit more incorporate, be more of a deep threat. I still think even if you make this pick, you probably want to go look at another deep threat as well, but I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver at LSU for the Chiefs.
You can't go wrong with that. 15 touchdowns over 1,000 yards, but yeah. The one concern is that you had to break down the film. Played on the opposite side of Malik Nabers,
yeah.
But came from a high profile. Look at the offense of Joe Burrow at LSU. He had Justin Jefferson as his number two, and he had Ja'Marr Chase as his number one when he wins the national title. So it didn't affect either of those guys because
right. They're
two of the best, I think two of the top three receivers in the National Football League at that point. That puts us with Jacksonville on the clock.
26.
And edge, defensive back. You think a lot of different directions. I'm going offensive line. Their tackles have been decimated. You see Juwan Taylor
over in
Kansas City.
Yep. And they took Anton Harrison out of Oklahoma in the first round this
building
year.
Up that offensive line. At this point,
I think this is prime candidate for a trade. I think there's a very good option that they could trade out of this, especially if there's a team that likes one of these receivers. You look at, some of these receivers and like, I think there might be someone that looks at like Xavier Leggett and like, oh, we got to have that guy. Yeah. He's a great athlete. Cause Leggett's like another 6'3" athletic freak, good speed, good physicality. He could be a guy that you see someone trade up for. So I would not discount that they decide to move out of there and someone trades up to go get a guy like that.
For Jacksonville, though, I got to think offensive line, man. Graham Barton at Duke, one of the toughest pound-for-pound offensive linemen there, 6'5", 315 pounds. Started left tackle for the Duke Blue Devils this year. I'm thinking Jacksonville. I'm thinking about bulking up that offensive line. So Graham Barton, let's see where the Pro Football Focus probably got him way down here.
He's right there.
He's not too bad. They have him ranked as the 28th best player in the deal. But Graham Barton to the Jaguars at pick number 26.
I like it. I think it's a good move. I do think the Jags are going to have to invest in their offensive line. They throw a lot of shorter passes. They have had some issues at tackle this year. Getting a guy like him is certainly going to help out Trevor Lawrence. And I do think that that's something that's going to be important because, we watched the Chiefs play against them early in September, and the offensive line got decimated by the Chiefs. Like, Chris Jones had his way. Carl Loftus had his way. Like, all those guys were out here. They were putting pads on Trevor Lawrence a lot. So I think that's a good move. So now we go to 27. We've got the Dallas Cowboys here. Cowboys don't look like they have a ton of issues right now, a ton of weaknesses. I think that there could be issues on the interior of their defensive line because Mozzie Smith has not really panned out very well this year. Seems like the Chiefs might have dodged a bullet with Mozzie because, there was the reports that they tried to trade up with the Cowboys so they could take Mozzie Smith. Mozzie has not panned out. He is actually, I think, watching the game last night between the Cowboys and the Eagles, I believe he is the worst-rated defensive tackle against the run in the NFL, according to PFF. So that's an interesting little stat there. I think, though, for the Cowboys, wide receiver is an interesting spot because you got CeeDee Lamb, and outside of that, you got Michael Gallup, you got Brandon Cooks, who, Cooks is decent. Michael Gallup has been decent. And they got Turbin as well. But I think if you are really trying to make sure that your offense remains a strength, you probably want to add another wide receiver, add another weapon there so that you've got another reliable receiver to throw to. Your offense is a strength. Could go running back here. I don't think there's a running back worth taking here in the first round. So I kind of feel like this is the time where I feel like the Cowboys go for the guy who's kind of fallen a bit, whose value's kind of diminished, and they're like, okay, we know this guy. We can turn him into a good player. So I'm going to go wide receiver Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State. I think that this is really kind of where they try and shore up and get a good number two guy. I actually think Emeka Egbuka would be a good number two receiver. I just wouldn't draft him if I needed a number one. And I think this is where he fits in better. So 27 overall, I got wide receiver Emeka Egbuka for the Cowboys.
In Detroit, to me, Dan Campbell, it's about physicality. It's about that offensive line at this point. We've seen him go defense last year in offense as well with Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back taken in the first round. I don't think they go offensive skill position. I think they go lineman. And one lineman I think they get is the Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year, who I think is the best guard in this year's draft. So we're going to go guard here. We're going to go Kansas State. Cooper Beebe.
Are you going to go Cooper? Cooper. You're not going to go Zach Zinter?
Well, Zinter got hurt.
Zinter did get hurt.
What was his injury? I don't remember. Was it? He was carted off.
I think it was like a knee injury or something, right?
Zach Zinter. But I mean, again.
Because he got hurt. Was that the Ohio State game we got hurt in?
I think it was the Ohio State game.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember watching. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Like,
suffered a break to the tibia and fibula.
So, yeah, he should be good to go.
But give me Cooper Beebe. I want Cooper Beebe instead here for Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions.
Keep going.
I don't know where they have Cooper.
There he is.
Cooper Beebe.
Okay.
I think Draft Buzz has even their best guard coming
out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all subjective right now. So,
but I do think Cooper Beebe is either a first or second.
I think him or Zinter would be a good pick right here. So now we got 29. We got the 49ers here. 49ers don't have a ton of needs. Here they list offensive line, corner. I do think offensive line could be an issue for them. Hasn't quite been the best compared to previous years.
Trent Williams getting up there.
Very much getting up there. So, they got options as far as where they could go on their team. I do think offensive line, though, is an option for them. It's probably going to be a priority for them. And the guy I look at that I like for them is Troy Faletonu, tackle out of Washington. Gives them an option for a player to develop once Trent Williams is done.
He's a sleeper. People really like him or
right,
don't.
Right. And the thing is like, Trent Williams is like in his mid-30s. Like, you just cannot count on him playing that position forever. So get a guy that you can develop. You can play on that left side in the future, and he could eventually be your franchise left tackle for years to come. So, yeah, I've got Troy Faletonu, tackle out of Washington, going to the 49ers. So right now, 30th overall on the clock is going to be the Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens. Boy, it's certainly a nice pick with Zay last year.
Yeah.
A wide receiver.
Zay's worked out for him.
And you got to think, okay, wide receiver, because, you know, you look at that offense, their defense is already number one in points against.
Yeah, their defense is really
good. Like, I like to think defense, but, you know, Leonard Taylor Jr., the defensive lineman of Miami, would be, I think, a good fit if we went defense. But I don't know if I want to go defense. I think that I want to give him offensive line once again. Leonard Taylor Jr. is a guy that was all over the place this year. He didn't only have one sack, though. He only played. He only had eight tackles this year, so a little bit down.
Yeah,
for Leonard Taylor.
He's still a good defensive tackle. I think Zach Zinter is also a good option too. There's a lot of different options you could take here for the Ravens.
But you know what, though? I'm going to continue the trend of wide receivers because I think you just have to continue to get wide receivers. This one can also return as well, a punt returner. Xavier Worthy out of Texas. You can make an argument that either A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy, who's banged up, we've got to see what his status is going to be for the college football playoffs. But Xavier Worthy, a guy you saw mocked a lot in just about this position when it was going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, but put Worthy on the other side of Zay. And that is the future for the Baltimore Ravens.
I kind of doubt wide receiver because, you know, was it Rashad Bateman and then Zay Flowers? They've sunk a lot of draft capital into receiver. Bateman's had injury issues, so, you know, that's kind of a problem for him. But they've hit on Zay Flowers. Tight end is another option for them as well because Andrews is starting to get up there. So Jatavion Sanders is an option for them. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of worry about Xavier Worthy. Like, I've been watching a lot more film on Texas, rewatching games and whatnot. I think it's pretty clear that AD is the guy there in Texas. Like, I think he's clearly.
But he's already gone.
Yeah, he's already gone. He's clearly the guy. And so I kind of worry about number two syndrome with him, with Xavier. I kind of worry about that with him now. So I get it. But something kind of concerns me about Worthy in that regard. If the Chiefs were on the clock and they had the option of the two, I would want them to take AD. So 31st overall, we got the Miami Dolphins. There's a lot of different ways you can go here. I think the biggest issue that the Dolphins have is offensive line, especially at the tackle spot. They are really, really struggling, I think. Like, Terrion Armstead has had so many injuries this year. And I really think they got to start thinking about their future. I mean, Armstead has been in the league for a while. He's very good left tackle with the New Orleans Saints before he came over to the Dolphins. So they've got a lot of talent there. And I still, like I said, I think this is a really good offensive tackle class. Like, you remember back in 2021 when the Chiefs were needing a left tackle and there were all these options for left tackle and none of those guys were really there. Like, none of those guys are really good. Cosme, Eichenberg, Tevin Jenkins, all those guys.
Leatherwood.
Leatherwood. Like, Leatherwood's not even in the league right now.
He'd bounced around. He had been in Chicago for a while, too.
Yeah, he was in Chicago for a little bit, and he's gone. And all the other guys are guards now. None of those guys are tackles anymore. So,
that's why the Chiefs had to go Orlando Brown.
Right. They knew, and I think we all knew. Like, I was like, they're not taking a tackle at that pick. I think, though, this is actually a very good tackle draft, and I think there's a lot of options late first round. And one guy I have seen mocked to the Chiefs a lot late in the first round that I think could be that guy for the Dolphins is Tyler Guyton, tackle out of Oklahoma. Oklahoma produces a lot of very good tackles. The Chiefs have they're starting left tackle right now in Wanye Morris is an Oklahoma guy. Their guy before him last year, Orlando Brown Jr., Oklahoma guy. This is a position. Trent Williams, I think, is also an Oklahoma guy. He's considered the best left tackle in the game, or one of the best left tackles in the game. There's a lot of good options here, but I think this one's pretty easy. Tyler Guyton to the Dolphins. Their offensive line, they got to keep Tua upright. He's small. He has had concussion issues. I think Guyton's the best guy for the job there. But I also think Kingsley Sue. I don't want to butcher his name. Let me pull it up real quick. Kingsley Suamatala, tackle out of BYU, is another good option as well. But I think Tyler Guyton's the guy.
Well, Philadelphia, the last pick in the first round, they have him winning the Super Bowl. I don't see that happening. But
I think this is based on standings right now.
Yeah, based on standing right now. But I will say this. What's one thing you think of Philadelphia and you think of a real weakness? It's that pass defense they have.
Pass defense is so bad.
It's one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. Matter of fact, it's just as a whole, they're giving up 200 and almost 260 yards a game, which is good enough for 28th in the NFL. Their two safeties they lost last year in the Super Bowl, Epps, went on to the Raiders. C.J. Gardner-Johnson ended up in Detroit. I'm going safety.
Yeah,
I'm going safety in that corner. This. At this pick, so I'm going.
There's one guy I've been mocking to them at safety that I really like.
I'm going Tyler Newbin, the guy that we almost picked earlier.
Yes,
safety out of Minnesota, Tyler Newbin to the Philadelphia Eagles to post that defense.
Yeah, I love this pick for them. I think Newbin is the best ball hawking safety there. I think he's a great center fielder, if you will. So I think he's a great option. So to recap our first round mock draft,
what grade we get?
Well, it doesn't give us a grade. it only gives us a grade if we do a team mock draft. But we got Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Bears. Number two overall, we've got quarterback Drake May out of North Carolina.
All right, the quarterback to the Patriots. And wide receiver counters, two quarterbacks.
To the Cardinals at number three overall, we've got Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. To the Commanders at four overall, we've got Olu Fashanu, tackle out of Penn State. Number five overall, back to the Bears here. I think this is a very tradable pick. We've got Laiatu, edge out of UCLA. Sixth overall to the Jets, we've got Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame. Seventh overall to the Giants, we've got Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. Eighth overall to the Titans, Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. Ninth overall to the Saints, Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU. Tenth overall to the Bucks. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. 11.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
for the year by October. So this is interesting. I feel like they could very well trade out of this pick because I think that they could accumulate a little bit more value. It's funny because PFF says they need a wide receiver. I actually think they're good at wide receiver. Like Michael Pittman's been one of the best wide receivers in the league this year. And on top of that, like Josh Downs from North Carolina really, really started to show out here in the middle of the season. So this is kind of a luxury pick for them, but they could also use a little bit more help on the defensive side. And so I'm kind of leaning between Cameron Kitchens and Tyler Newbin. And I'm probably going to go Cameron Kitchens here because I think he's a little bit more of a playmaker overall. I think Newbin's a better ball hawk. I think he's better.
By far the best gopher.
Yeah, I think Newbin's a better, like, true, like, free safety, center fielder, shut down the deep ball. But I think Kitchens a guy that could play all over the field, all over the defense. So I'm going to go with Kitchens because I just think the utility that he brings to that defense is something that you're just not going to find in a lot of different players on defense.
Well, this brings us to the pick right before the Kansas City Chiefs in this, the Pro Football Focus. Like, they have the Chiefs at 25th, and obviously
right.
See a finish a lot different there. But the Texans, Tank Dell gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But Tank Dell's a nice young piece.
Very young for the Texans. Very good young wide receiver.
Nico Collins, a former third-round pick back in 21. He's got over 1,000 yards this year.
Very, very great year for him this year.
But wide receiver with C.J. Stroud. Like, that is the perfect mix to me, is wide receiver. One of the wide receivers I've really liked all year, and I really liked he mocked the Chiefs at the end, Adonai Mitchell or A.D. Mitchell, whichever you prefer, at Texas, an absolute stud, would be probably my favorite receiver going forward at this point.
I
like Xavier Leggett at South Carolina, but I like A.D. Mitchell a little bit better to the Texans.
So here's what I'll say about that before we do that.
The transfer to from Georgia to Texas.
I think the defense is something they could also look at here, too. I think that their wide receiver core, I think, is fine. You look at it, like Nico Collins, still on a rookie contract here, third year in the league, having a great year. Tank Dell was having a great year before he got hurt, before he, broke his leg.
But a smaller guy,
but he's been great this year. Doesn't matter about size if he's having a great year. So you got him, you got Dell, you got Nico Collins, and you got Noah Brown, who actually was starting to come out too as well. I don't know if receivers where they need to go in the first round. They could go later on, maybe go take a Tez Walker type in the second round. But I kind of think, especially with the kind of...
But with Tank being 5'10", AD Mitchell 6'4".
But it doesn't matter.
We're going AD Mitchell to the Houston Texans. Plays at Texas, going to fit right in there with CJ Stroud.
Yeah,
I trust D'Amico Ryans for the defense as head coach. Keep building up. Put some Nico Collins out there. Robert Woods is out there starting now for him. Put some Nico Collins. How about this? How about that trio? Nico Collins, Tank Dell, AD Mitchell.
Yeah, I would have gone defense there.
Almost wanted Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
Yeah, I would have gone defense there. I think defense is kind of where the priority needs to be right now. So now we got to the Kansas City Chiefs, 25th overall, options at wide receiver. A lot of options at wide receiver.
One that really, two of them that really stand out to me.
And so we kind of look at it right here, like the top rated per PFF is Emeka Egbuka. I'm not drafting him. No. Like I'm not drafting.
I think he benefited from Harrison.
I think he's. I think he's very much the bridesmaid type.
And he was hurt a lot this year.
I think he's the bridesmaid type. Not taking him. Xavier Leggett is interesting, and I think his combine is going to be vital to his draft position. I think if he has a great combine, runs a great 40 time, he's going to shoot up boards. He's already, I mean, we talked about him earlier this year. He was one of my moneymakers in like October because he was working his way up. At one point, he was leading the FBS in receiving yards. So he's an interesting option, especially because like it wasn't a whole lot of other guys out there. He was the guy at South Carolina. So Leggett's an option. Xavier Worthy's an option. Brian Thomas Jr. is an option.
That's the guy. Him, Brian Thomas
Troy
Jr.
Troy Franklin is another option.
And Xavier Leggett are like the top three, I think, for the Chiefs. Brian Thomas Jr. would give the Chiefs something they don't have.
So here's
he's a touchdown machine. He's 6'4".
So here's my thing. When I watch Brian Thomas Jr., I think T. Higgins. But I think he's got a little bit more speed than T. I think T's like, what, a 4'5", 40 guy? I think Brian Thomas is probably a 4'4 guy.
He's 6'4", 205 pounds?
Yeah, I think he's like a 4'4 guy. And when I look at that, and I mean, he was a deep threat when he was at LSU. Tall, vertical, like, all these guys are tall in this draft class. Like, there's not that many short guys here that are going to be, you know, being projected the first couple rounds. But I just, the speed jumps out to me. And the ability to run after the catch is so important in this offense. And so I look at it and, like, the only other guy I look at here that I think would be great is Troy Franklin because he's another taller guy. I think he's, like, 6'3". You know, he's not
1,300 yards. Brian Thomas, a little over 1,000. But he had 15 touchdowns for the nation.
And so the thing that jumps
out. Troy's 6'3", by the way.
Yeah, Troy's 6'3", yeah. So he's 6'3", like, what, 180-something or something like that?
Smaller.
He's not super big. But the thing about Brian Thomas that jumps out is the fact that he's got decent, he's a really good speed, he's got great size, and he knows how to use his body. And so I think at 25, I think he makes perfect sense. I think the physicality is going to be important for the Chiefs. I think he could end up playing the role that Kelce plays right now, but be a little bit more incorporate, you know, be more of a deep threat. I still think even if you make this pick, you probably want to go look at another deep threat as well. But I'm going to go Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver at LSU for the Chiefs.
You can't go wrong with that. 15 touchdowns over 1,000 yards. But yeah. The one concern is that you had to break down the film, play the opposite side of Malik Nabers,
yeah. But
came from a high profile. Look at the offense of Joe Burrow at LSU. He had Justin Jefferson as his number two, and he had Ja'Marr Chase as his number one when he wins the national title. So it didn't affect either of those guys, because
right. They're
two of the best, I think two of the top three receivers in the National Football League at that point. That puts us with Jacksonville on the clock.
26.
And edge, defensive back, you think a lot of different directions. I'm going offensive line. Their tackles have been decimated. You see Juwan Taylor
left.
Kansas City.
Yep. And they took Anton Harrison out of Oklahoma in the first round this
building
year.
Up that offensive line. At this point,
I think this is prime candidate for a trade. I think there's a very good option that they could trade out of this, especially if there's a team that likes one of these receivers. You know, you look at, you know, some of these receivers and like, I think there might be someone that looks at like Xavier Leggett. And like, oh, we got to have that guy. Yeah. He's a great athlete. Because, you know, Leggett's like another 6'3 athletic freak. You know, good speed, good physicality. He could be a guy that you see someone trade up for. So I would not discount that they decide to move out of there and someone trades up to go get a guy like that.
For Jacksonville, though, I got to think offensive line, man. Graham Barton at Duke. One of the toughest pound-for-pound offensive linemen here, 6'5", 315 pounds. Started left tackle for the Duke Blue Devils this year. I'm thinking Jacksonville, and I'm thinking about bulking up that offensive line. So Graham Barton, let's see where the Pro Football Focus probably got him way down here.
He's right there.
He's not too bad. They have him ranked as the 28th best player in the deal. But Graham Barton to the Jaguars at pick number 26.
I like it. I think it's a good move. I do think the Jags are going to have to invest in their offensive line. They throw a lot of shorter passes. They have had some issues at tackle this year. Getting a guy like him is certainly going to help out Trevor Lawrence. And I do think that that's something that's going to be important, because like we watched the Chiefs play against them early in September, and the offensive line got decimated by the Chiefs. Like Chris Jones had his way, Carl Loftus had his way, like all those guys were out here. They were putting pads on Trevor Lawrence a lot. So I think that's a good move. So now we go to 27. We've got the Dallas Cowboys here. Cowboys don't look like they have a ton of issues right now, a ton of weaknesses. I think that there could be issues on the interior of their defensive line because Mozzie Smith has not really panned out very well this year. Seems like the Chiefs might have dodged a bullet with Mozzie because, there was the reports that they tried to trade up with the Cowboys so they could take Mozzie Smith. Mozzie has not panned out. He is actually, I think, watching the game last night between the Cowboys and the Eagles, I believe he is the worst rated defensive tackle against the run in the NFL, according to PFF. So that's an interesting little stat there. I think, though, for the Cowboys, wide receiver is an interesting spot because you got CeeDee Lamb, and outside of that, you got Michael Gallup, you got Brandon Cooks, who, Cooks is decent. Michael Gallup has been decent, and they got Turbin as well. But I think if you are really trying to make sure that your offense remains a strength, you probably want to add another wide receiver, add another weapon there so that you've got another reliable receiver to throw to. Your offense is a strength. Could go running back here. I don't think there's a running back worth taking here in the first round. So I kind of feel like this is the time where I feel like the Cowboys go for the guy who's kind of fallen a bit, whose value's kind of diminished, and they're like, okay, we know this guy. We can turn him into a good player. So I'm going to go wide receiver Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State. I think that this is really kind of where they try and shore up and get a good number two guy. I actually think Emeka Egbuka would be a good number two receiver. I just wouldn't draft him if I needed a number one. And I think this is where he fits in better. So 27 overall, I got wide receiver Emeka Egbuka for the Cowboys.
In Detroit, to me, Dan Campbell, it's about physicality. It's about that offensive line at this point. We've seen him go defense last year in offense as well with Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back taken in the first round. I don't think they go offensive skill position. I think they go lineman. And one lineman I think they get is the Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year, who I think is the best guard in this year's draft. So we're going to go guard here. We're going to go Kansas State. Cooper Beebe.
Are you going to go Cooper? You're not going to go Zach Zinter?
Well, Zinter got hurt.
Zinter did get hurt.
What was his injury? I don't remember. Was it? He was carted off.
I think it was like a knee injury or something, right?
Zach Zinter. But I mean, again.
Because he got hurt. Was that the Ohio State game we got hurt in?
I think it was the Ohio State game.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember watching. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Like,
suffered a break to the tibia and fibula.
So, he should be good for
He should
year.
Be good to go, but give me Cooper Beebe. I want Cooper Beebe instead here for Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions.
Keep going.
I don't know where they have Cooper.
There he is.
Cooper Beebe.
Okay.
I think Draft Buzz has even their best guard coming
out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all subjective right now. So,
but I do think Cooper Beebe is either first or second.
I think him or Zinter would be a good pick right here. So now we got 29. We got the 49ers here. 49ers don't have a ton of needs. Here they list offensive line, corner. I do think offensive line could be an issue for them. Hasn't quite been the best compared to previous years.
Trent Williams getting up there.
Very much getting up there. So they got options as far as where they could go on their team. I do think offensive line, though, is an option for them. It's probably going to be a priority for them. And The guy I look at that I like for them is Troy Faletonu, tackle out of Washington. Gives them an option for a player to develop once Trent Williams is done.
He's a sleeper. Either people really like him or
don't. Right. And the thing is like, Trent Williams is like in his mid-30s. Like, you just cannot count on him playing that position forever. So get a guy that you can develop. You can play on that left side in the future, and he could eventually be your franchise left tackle for years to come. So, yeah, I've got Troy Faletonu, tackle out of Washington, going to the 49ers. So right now, 30th overall on the clock is going to be the Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens. Boy, it's certainly a nice pick with Zay last year.
Yeah.
A wide receiver.
Zay's worked out for him.
And you got to think, okay, wide receiver, because, you know, you look at that offense, their defense is already number one in points against.
Yeah, their defense is really
good. Like, I like to think defense, but, you know, Leonard Taylor Jr., the defensive lineman at Miami, would be, I think, a good fit if we went defense. But I don't know if I want to go defense. I think that I want to give him offensive line once again. Leonard Taylor Jr., is a guy that was all over the place this year. He didn't only have one sack, though. He only played. He only had eight tackles this year, so a little bit down.
Yeah, for Leonard Taylor. He's still a good defensive tackle. I think Zach Zinter is also a good option too. There's a lot of different options you could take here for the Ravens.
But you know what, though, I'm going to continue the trend of wide receivers because I think you just have to continue to get wide receivers. This one can also return as well, a punt returner. Xavier Worthy out of Texas. You can make an argument that either A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy, who's banged up, we've got to see what his status is going to be for the college football playoffs. But Xavier Worthy, a guy you saw mocked a lot in just about this position when it was going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, but put Worthy on the other side of Zay, and that is the future for the Baltimore Ravens.
I kind of doubt wide receiver because, you know, was it Rashad Bateman? And then Zay Flowers, they've sunk a lot of draft capital into receiver. Bateman's had injury issues, so, you know, that's kind of a problem for him. But they've hit on Zay Flowers. Tight end is another option for them as well because Andrews is starting to get up there. So Jatavion Sanders is an option for them. But, I kind of worry about Xavier Worthy. Like, I've been watching a lot more film on Texas, rewatching games and whatnot. I think it's pretty clear that AD is the guy there in Texas. Like, I think he's clearly...
But he's already gone.
Yeah, he's already gone. He's clearly the guy. And so I kind of worry about number two syndrome with him, with Xavier. I kind of worry about that with him now. So I get it, but something kind of concerns me about Worthy in that regard. If the Chiefs were on the clock and they had the option of the two, I would want them to take AD. So 31st overall, we got the Miami Dolphins. There's a lot of different ways you could go here. I think the biggest issue that the Dolphins have is offensive line, especially at the tackle spot. They are really, really struggling, I think. Like Terrion Armstead has had so many injuries this year, and I really think they got to start thinking about their future. I mean, Armstead has been in the league for a while. He's very good left tackle with the New Orleans Saints before he came over to the Dolphins. So they've got a lot of talent there. And I still, like I said, I think this is a really good offensive tackle class. Like, you remember back in 2021 when the Chiefs were needing a left tackle and there were all these options for left tackle and none of those guys were really there. Like, none of those guys are really good. Cosme, Eichenberg, Tevin Jenkins, all those guys.
Leatherwood.
Leatherwood. Like, Leatherwood's not even in the league right now.
He bounced around. He was in Chicago for a while, too.
Yeah, he was in Chicago for a little bit, and he's gone. And all the other guys are guards now. None of those guys are tackles anymore. So,
that's why the Chiefs had to go Orlando Brown.
Right. They knew. And I think we all knew. Like, I was like, they're not taking a tackle at that pick. I think, though, this is actually a very good tackle draft, and I think there's a lot of options late first round. And one guy I have seen mocked to the Chiefs a lot late in the first round that I think could be that guy for the Dolphins is Tyler Guyton, tackle out of Oklahoma. Oklahoma produces a lot of very good tackles. The Chiefs have they're starting left tackle right now in Wanye Morris is an Oklahoma guy. Their guy before him last year, Orlando Brown Jr., Oklahoma guy. This is a position. Trent Williams, I think, is also an Oklahoma guy, is considered the best left tackle in the game, or one of the best left tackles in the game. There's a lot of good options here, but I think this one's pretty easy. Tyler Guyton to the Dolphins. Their offensive line, they got to keep Tua upright. He's small. He has had concussion issues. I think Guyton's the best guy for the job there. But I also think Kingsley Sue. Well, I'm not. I don't want to butcher his name. Let me pull it up real quick. Kingsley Suamatala, tackle out of BYU, is another good option as well. But I think Tyler Guyton's the guy.
Well, Philadelphia, the last pick in the first round, they have him winning the Super Bowl. I don't see that happening. But
I think this is based on standings right now.
Yeah, based on standing right now. But I will say this. What's one thing you think of Philadelphia and you think of a real weakness? It's that pass defense they have.
Pass defense is so bad.
It's one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. Matter of fact, it's just as a whole, they're giving up 200 and almost 260 yards a game, which is good enough for 28th in the NFL. Their two safeties they lost last year in the Super Bowl, Epps, went on to the Raiders. C.J. Gardner-Johnson ended up in Detroit. I'm going safety.
Yeah,
I'm going safety in that corner at this pick. So I'm going.
There's one guy I've been mocking to them at safety that I really like.
I'm going Tyler Newbin, the guy that we almost picked earlier.
Yes.
Safety out of Minnesota. Tyler Newbin to the Philadelphia Eagles to post that defense.
Yeah, I love this pick for them. I think Newbin is the best ball-hawking safety there. I think he's a great center fielder, if you will. So I think he's a great option. So to recap our first-round mock draft.
What grade we get?
Well, it doesn't give us a grade. It only gives us a grade if we do a team mock draft. But we got Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Bears. Number two overall, we've got quarterback Drake May out of North Carolina.
All right, let me do the quarterback to the Patriots. And wide receiver counters, two quarterbacks.
To the Cardinals at number three overall, we've got Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. To the Commanders at four overall, we've got Olu Fashanu, tackle out of Penn State. Number five overall, back to the Bears here. I think this is a very tradable pick. We've got Laiatu, edge out of UCLA. Sixth overall to the Jets, we've got Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame. Seventh overall to the Giants, we've got Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. Eighth overall to the Titans, Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. Ninth overall to the Saints, Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU. Tenth overall to the Bucks, Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. 11th overall to the Raiders, Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle, Illinois. 12th overall to the Chargers, you got Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, Alabama. 13th overall to the Broncos, his teammate Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama. 14th overall to the Bills, we've got wide receiver Romo Dunze out of Washington. 15th overall to the Seahawks, Jared Verse, edge, Florida State. 16th overall to the Rams, Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon. 17th overall to the Bengals, J.C. Latham, tackle, Alabama. 18th overall to the Steelers, we've got Nate Wiggins, cornerback, Clemson. 19th overall to the Falcons, Cooper DeJean, cornerback, Iowa. To the Packers at 20, Amarius Mims, tackle, Georgia. To the Vikings at 21, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington. To the Cardinals at 22, Taliese Fuaga, tackle, Oregon State. To the Colts at 23, Cameron Kitchens, safety, Miami, Florida. To the Texans at 24, A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas. To the Chiefs at 25, Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, LSU. To the Jags at 26, Graham Barton, tackle, Duke. To the Cowboys at 27, Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. To the Lions at 28, Cooper Beebe, guard, Kansas State. To the 49ers at 29, Troy Faltanu, tackle, Washington. To the Ravens at 30, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas. To the Dolphins at 31, you got Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma. And finally at 32 overall, to the Eagles, you've got Tyler Newbin, safety, Minnesota.
Well, one of the tests I want to see, how many quarterbacks and how many wide receivers?
Yep.
The record for quarterbacks is six. We had five going in the first round.
Right.
5. And I think some decisions there, whether, you know, if Quinn Ewers joins the draft, you know, or if J.J. McCarthy lights it up the combine, even though he struggled towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't, but I'm not saying that.
We had 8 first-round receivers. That would be a record. The 8 wide receivers in the first round. Also, I think 2007, there was 13 wide receivers drafted in the top 2 rounds. And so, but we had 8 receivers in the first round. Of course, that's 13 selections off the board between quarterbacks and wide receivers.
I think a lot of wide receivers go in this draft class. I kind of leaning towards maybe 4 quarterbacks taken here, maybe 5, somewhere 4 or 5 quarterbacks, I think, go in the first round this year. Like receivers, we're going to see the record. I think a lot of teams could use a wide receiver, and I think a lot of teams are going to really kind of value that. I think there's going to be some trades, though. I do think there's going to be a few trades, especially Bears at 5th overall. I think that's a pick that the Bears are going to be shopping heavily, hardcore. The Colts as well, their pick. I think the Colts are going to be shopping that pick as well. I think there's going to be a few teams out there trying to move some picks. The Cardinals as well, with their 2nd first-round pick, they could also be looking to try and shop around that. I think it's 23rd overall, to try to get some more value there. So that's just for us to try to guess and put out there who we think our first-round
value is. How many receivers are we looking at? Yeah.
There's a lot of receivers there.
8.
I kind of feel like it'll be 7. I'm not confident about Emeka Egbuka. I would not be shocked.
Or Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy is another.
6. Those two don't make the first
I think
round.
Those two guys are probably the most likely to fall out. So don't be shocked by that. But I think that's a good exercise for us to kind of test that valuation. So next week, we'll be back with more content. We'll talk more about the declarations of some of these players. We'll also give you an update on some of these Chiefs rookies, because some interesting developments here in the last few weeks as far as some of these guys, especially one of those guys that we've been talking about here for the last few weeks, really last month now. He's, I think, really started to come on at his position of choice there. So we'll talk about that next week. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to us. See you guys again next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.